Well, everybody, welcome back to another Tech Doctor podcast. Once again, I have the pleasure of being here with Allison. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. How you doing, Allison?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I just got back from Pilates, where we had a new instructor who just got her Pilates certification, and she worked us very, very hard.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah. So hopefully I'll be able to stay awake for this entire podcast, right?
Without I'll elbow you.
Yeah, please do if you think I'm fading or something. But I'm breathing all right, so I think I'll make it. We got an interesting topic that I feel some passion about today, and we're going to kind of let this unfold and let you learn about this topic as we go along here. A couple months ago, Allison, you and I were on the Tua podcast,
yep,
where we were talking about the new Kindle app, which had just been released with accessibility built into it. And for anyone who doesn't know, the unofficial Apple weblog podcast is recorded on Sunday nights. And the person who was the host when we were on the podcast was Kelly Gamont. And we're very fortunate to have Kelly on the Tech Doctor podcast today to talk about a project that she's currently involved in. Kelly, welcome, and please take a moment and introduce yourselves to the Tech Doctor listeners and tell us who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Okay, I do kind of a lot of stuff, so get comfy. My day job is software support for and documentation for AgileBits, the makers of 1Password. And the rest of the time, I host the Tua Talkcast and occasionally contribute written articles over there as well. And I am also a regular host and guest on the Angry Mac Bastard podcast, the British Tech Network's Mac show, and the British Tech Network's comic show. So I have lots and lots of things to say, and it's not hard to find a place on the internet where I am saying them.
Exactly, and welcome to this podcast. You do a lot of things, and it's clear that you are well integrated into the Mac, Apple, iOS community. You've been doing this kind of thing for quite a while.
I have. I've been a Mac person for a lot of years. It started back with a teacher who bought an Apple IIe and put it in a classroom, and she bought it with her own money because she really thought that this was going to be the way things went in the future. And so I sat down in front of an Apple IIe, and I've been sitting in front of some screen from Cupertino in one form or another basically ever since.
So I guess
remember the Apple IIe.
You
yeah,
guys,
that green screen in the Oregon Trail.
I remember Oregon Trail. Yeah, it was the first accessible computer I ever used.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
See, I wouldn't have thought you guys were old enough to remember the Apple
IIe. Oh, now he's turning on the charm.
The Apple IIe was actually the first computer that I bought.
Oh, wow.
Just before I was ready to go to graduate school to begin my doctoral program. And I used it all through graduate school, including the writing of my dissertation. So the 2E and the 2C, which I carried around on campus, are dear to my heart. And the 2C was almost a laptop.
I wanted one of those so badly.
Before the days that we had laptops.
Yeah, the definition of portable computer in the era of the Apple IIc is very different than what it is today.
Yeah. Yeah, but except for the fact that you had to plug it into electricity, it was pretty much laptop size, though.
Yeah, it was heavy, is what I remember.
It was.
I didn't get to spend a lot of time with them, but I remember picking one up and going, there's no way I could carry this around with me everywhere, but it would be awesome if I could.
Well, what was interesting was I carried it around on one shoulder and a dot matrix image writer printer on the other shoulder.
Oh, God.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, that was an interesting time.
Is your middle name Hercules?
Well, I haven't had a very good back since then. We'll just leave it at that. But, you know, today we are going to talk about a project that I first started hearing about a couple months ago, and it was the brainchild of Gene McDonald, who a lot of people who have hung around the Apple, Mac, iOS community will be familiar with Jean because she works for Smile Software, who does some great software that we all know and love, things like PDF Pen. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you became involved at some point with this great idea that has really turned into something substantial and solid. But as I heard Jean tell the story on a podcast, she was at WWDC one year and sort of looked around and realized that she was the only or one of very few women who were in that particular workshop or mm-hmm. whatever she was doing at the time. And she realized from that something really needed to happen to get more girls and women involved in the technology. So if you don't mind, Kelly, what happened? Pick up the story from there.
What for me has been one of the interesting pieces of App Camp for Girls, which is what we're talking about, has been how it came together. It was actually last year at WWDC 2012, where Jean was sitting in a room that held thousands of people and realized she couldn't see another woman from where she was sitting. And she realized it bothered her. And it was one of those moments, sort of like a magic eye photo or some other sort of thing, where like once somebody points it out to you, you can't unsee that image. So once you notice that thing or a wrong note in a song, like once somebody says, "Did you know that right there, that note is backward, you know, that chord was played backwards," or whatever it is, then after that, forever, it always is in the back of your mind. Every time you get that, you notice that. And so it bothered her, and it stuck in her brain, and she kept trying to think of a good way to do something about this. And it wasn't write a blog post and say, "We need more women," and it wasn't go on a podcast and say, "Encourage more women to be, you know, telling other people to do things." She decided to take this on herself. And she lives in Portland. I live in Portland in Oregon. And that's how we do things. We sit down and go, "This seems like a thing that needs to happen." And then we go build it. And it's just the way Portland works. It's why we have so many food carts. And it's why we have all kinds of conferences all the time, is because people here go, "You know, somebody needs to be doing that, and that somebody should be me, and I'm going to figure out how to make it happen." So last summer, after she got back from WWDC, Jean invited me to lunch. And over lunch, she said, "You know how I do Ladies Rock Camp, which is a camp where you go for a week. They do a ladies one, and then they do a girls one. You go for a week, and you show up all enthusiasm and basically zero technique. Zero know-how of any kind of instrument or anything. And by the end of the week, you have written a song and you perform that song at a showcase, like a concert at the end of the week." And cool. She said, "I want to take that model and I want to take that model and I want to make it an iOS development camp, because kids want iPods. They want iPod touches, or they have iPod touches and they want iPhones, you know, or they have iPhones and they're really good with them. And we want to be able to build... We want to be able to get them excited about building something on this device that they already love." We see a lot of that. If it had been the Zune, then we probably would have considered the Zune. But the other nice thing about it being iOS is that Jean and I both have a lot of contacts in the Apple community. And so we had a number of people that we could ask for a variety of different things in order to make this happen. So I told her, "Sign me up for whatever you need for me to do. Remember, I'm not a developer. And if there's anything I can do, I will absolutely do it. I just need you to tell me what it is." She said, "No problem." And so there were a number of things that happened. She managed to run into a woman developer at a meetup that was organized by, I'm not going to remember the name of the group, but it's a group of women that get together and have lunch at WWDC every year. And there aren't very many of them overall, considering that there are about 5,000 people that go to WWDC. There really aren't that many women there. And so they all got together, and a developer came up to Jean at WWDC and said, "Hi, I'm Natalie, and I live in Portland. And it's really great to meet you." And she said, you know, Natalie, I've had this idea. So she had a developer that she could talk to. And Jean and I have been friends for a long time. So she pulled me in and said, I'm going to work on this. What do you think? And I said, that sounds like a great idea. And so we went and did it. We had beta camp a couple of weeks ago. And what we're trying to do is raise funding to build our nonprofit organization. As of today, we have 3 days left of the campaign until it's on Indiegogo, and it will be on and through July 15th. So if it's before July 15th and you want to kick some money in, you can always go find us on Indiegogo. And if it's after that, you can always contact us through the website if you'd like to find a way to donate to us. And we did a week with girls. We put them in front of computers. We gave them iPod Touches to use for the week. And they opened up Xcode, and they built a quiz app. We had a basic framework in place. They didn't have to start from zero. And they had to generate all the artwork. They had to decide what questions they were going to ask in their quiz, what all the answers were going to be in their quiz, and what results you got out of the quiz. And every team came up with something completely different for their quiz, for their artwork. They all had to, at the end of the week, instead of play a rock song, at the end of the week, they all pitched their app to a panel of women investors. And they had really great answers for questions that the investors asked them. And every team spent a little bit of time on sort of, you've built an app, now what? So now that you've built it and you're going to put it in the store, how are you going to charge, are you going to charge for it? No, we want our app to be free. Well, if it's free, how are you going to make any money? And everybody had different answers for how they'd make money. Everybody had different answers for how they'd promote. It was really fantastic to get to sit in that room. And a number of girls came up and told us, like, I've done other sort of computer kinds of things. And in this case, without all the boys there, I felt like I could speak up. I felt like somebody would listen to my opinion. It was really great to have an idea and then have it be heard.
So it's really helpful to them to be able to do this with girls and other
yes.
women, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And all of our volunteers were women. We had women developers to help out at each team. And we had other volunteers. We had Krista Morgan come in and talk about UI design. So she came in and discussed what goes into helping people use an app. Like, you don't necessarily want a completely different interface than what people are used to. So that's why sometimes it feels like apps look the same, is because that way when somebody designs it, they know when someone hits the action button, the little rectangle with the arrow in it, they know, they have a certain expectation of what's going to happen. And that's why a lot of apps use that button. And we talked about testing software, and if somebody does something in the software that they're not supposed to do, if they go back a couple of questions and change an answer, does it break? And if it breaks, does it tell them what happened? Or do you just make a way so that they can't go back and change another answer and make them take the quiz again? And we talked a little bit about software testing, and we spent some time on accessibility.
Awesome.
Which, ever since I came on your show the first time, I have to say, is always something that is in the back of my mind. I always make sure that that's a box that gets checked. So it was really nice to hear them talk about, when you're testing, you also want to test accessibility, because you don't want to build a great app and then have a number of people, a whole group of people, who aren't able to use the app because you haven't tested it with VoiceOver or you haven't tested it with guided access, and nothing that people are trying to do is going to work if they have to use some sort of assistive technology. And it was really nice to hear that there are other people who think about the same thing. Now, granted, it was two women from Omni Group, and they tend to be pretty good about covering those kind of bases, but it was really great because having that as part of the week, because every piece that we did, there was one person, there was always a group of the girls whose eyes lit up at designing all the artwork that was the backgrounds behind the questions, or thinking up what the answers would be, or getting the opportunity to be part of the team, because everybody on the team had to pitch the app, coming up with the ideas for how we'd make money, or once we opened Xcode and let them start typing in their questions and their answers, having somebody go, oh, debugging, this is really great. And every piece of the way, there was a point where, for every girl, there was a moment during the week where they went, oh, this is really, really awesome.
So it sounds like everybody got to contribute and utilize some area of strength that they had. That's awesome.
Yeah, and we did have everyone do everything for the most part. So even if somebody's background wasn't included in one of the questions, for example, they still may have had an opportunity to draw one, or they may have gotten an opportunity to design the app's icon or something like that. And so it was really great to have everybody sort of contribute along the way. And it really gave me a good feeling because it was sort of showing them, it was kind of lifting the curtain and getting to check out what's going on behind the curtain to see that not everything with app development is necessarily you go type a bunch of things into a computer and then a program comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice to show them the storyboarding piece and how things fit together and how far you can get before you actually start typing anything or start having to troubleshoot. And it was really great to just sort of let them jump into the existing project and kind of feel their way around, because everybody liked getting to open up that computer and getting a good look at Xcode and finding out what was possible within it.
These girls, I gather, are for the most part young teenagers around 14, 15 years old, something like that?
A little bit younger, actually. We were aiming for junior high. So we had 7th, 8th, and 9th grade girls. And we were doing that specifically because a lot of times in high school, if that stuff hasn't been sort of subtly reinforced as being a boys' club, then it's been overtly enforced as being a boys' club. So it was great for us to do this. And one of the things that I've heard from a few different people is there's an organization in my community that thinks that high school girls are where you need to start talking to them. And I keep telling them that's not true, because by the time they get to high school, they already have definite opinions about it and you can't change them. And if you get them younger, which is what you guys are doing, and expose them to it, you know, here's the nickel tour of Xcode. Here's a little bit of what it's like to build an app. And let me put this on your touch for you. And now on your iPod Touch, you can, you know, go home and show your parents the thing that you built today.
So you call this beta camp, mm-hmm. but it's very, very sophisticated in all that you did. I mean, it sounds like you covered how to begin building an app, how to do some testing of it, what happens if mm-hmm. things don't work. You covered not only that part of it, but then in only a week, you got them to the point where they were actually pitching their app to a group of potential investors. So, I mean, it's mm-hmm. like, wow, this is a really sophisticated process that took place even for a beta.
Well, what we were looking for primarily was facilities. And, you know, how many people can we comfortably fit in the room that we have? And is it a good space for us to be working in? And the opportunity to go outside, because another really important piece of our day is making sure that everybody not only gets breaks, but takes them. So you have to leave the room. You know, even if it's just go out in the hall and get a drink of water and come back, you have to not be in front of a screen during break time. And every afternoon we had a different activity. We had self-defense come in one day. We had a hula hoop instructor come in one day. We had a variety of different people who came in, and we did non-screen time for a little while every afternoon to get them out from behind it. And it was also really nice to do that. We were looking for things like timing. Were we spending enough time in our preliminary schedule on this sort of thing or that sort of thing? Do we need to bust the computers out sooner? Do we need to have more time for people to rehearse their presentations when they pitch to the panel of investors? We were looking for those kind of things. So it wasn't as much beta for the girls as it was beta for us.
You had it really well planned out, and you knew what you wanted to accomplish, but you weren't quite sure exactly what the reality of it would be in terms of timing and what they would need in terms of assistance and all that, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that we were looking for when we created Beta Camp, was we wanted to find out if we were spending the appropriate amount of time on everything to make sure that everybody had fair exposure because we had teams of four. And so did everyone on the team get a chance to type something into Xcode? Did everyone on the team get a chance to contribute some artwork? Did everyone on the team get a chance to contribute ideas for how they would market their app once they were getting ready to do their pitches and that kind of thing?
How many girls total?
We had 12 girls.
12 girls.
This time. And we'll have 12 girls in August as well for our official 1.0 camp.
Okay. So three teams of four.
Mm-hmm.
How did the team idea work, did you think?
I think it went really well. And part of that was because we managed to mix the teams up. We selected the teams. Everybody had to fill out a questionnaire before they came to camp. And so we used those questionnaires to make sure that people with different interests were on the same team so that it wasn't one team that was all about one particular idea or like everyone on this team had the same favorite thing, because we wanted people to get a chance to spend time with the other girls too and sort of mix it up. So we had a couple of we had a few different ages, like I said, and so we took their questionnaires and put them together before they got an opportunity to sort themselves, because honestly, we didn't know how long that would take. And so yeah, we sort of assigned them ahead of time. And then I think it went really well because we managed to mix the teams up well enough that there was one person who went, oh, debugging is wonderful, I love typing in Xcode. Yeah. And one person who went, oh, I got to build that app icon and this is the best thing ever. And someone else who would go, oh, I have 100 marketing ideas for how we tell the whole world about this app. And it was really, really awesome to see them all work together and to see everybody pitch in and sort of gel into a team. By the end of the second day, probably even by lunchtime the second day, they were working together like it had been 100 years that they'd all been hanging out together since kindergarten or something. And it was really great to see because every team's table, I want to say they were loud, but it wasn't that they were loud. It was that there was all kinds of conversation all the time. And we had stronger personalities and we had quieter personalities, but the stronger personalities would stop and go, wait a minute, I haven't heard anything out of you in a while. What do you think about this? And
awesome.
That person would say, I disagree. And they would go, well, let's talk about it. And they would work it out, you know, amongst themselves. There was never a point where any of the adults had to intervene in like, oh gosh, guys, I don't know, maybe you should give this person a chance. Like, that never ever happened. And it was really awesome to see everybody working together, and they were all so excited about their goal, and they were all super pumped about getting to play with an iPod Touch and getting to do anything for the application. Like I said, everybody had a different favorite piece. And it was amazing to get the energy out of that room, because seriously, if they hadn't have been excited about it, that energy for us to feed off of, we would have just dragged the rest of the week.
I guess, honestly, Kelly, that was a bit of a risk, because you had no way of knowing ahead of time whether that energy would happen or not.
None whatsoever. We'd hoped they would be excited, and they absolutely were. And there was one point where one of the girls said, I don't remember what we were discussing, and one of the girls said, I'm so glad I'm not going to be an iOS developer when I grow up. And I went, how can you say that? And she said, well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a surgeon. And I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but don't think that that means that you can't be a developer. And she said, well, why not? And I said, because you don't have to do something 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or, you know, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, or 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you're a surgeon. You don't have to report in every day. Like, this can be something that you work on when you feel like it. Maybe what you will find as a surgeon when you're carrying around your iPhone version 27 is that you will look at it and go, you know what I really wish my phone could do for me because I am a surgeon? And you can go and build it. And every surgeon that you know is going to say, thank you for building this application because it makes my phone, it makes my life better.
What a wonderful response to that girl, you know, because
yeah,
she's beginning to realize you can combine your career and an avocation and turn it into something really meaningful and rewarding. That's a very cool response, I think. And it's just this whole thing, you know, this everything from the initial idea that Gene had that something ought to happen to this coming to fruition with Beta Camp, just oozes with creativity and energy. It's so exciting.
It's been wonderful. I've absolutely loved it. And what has been, for me, one of the most gratifying things about it is every person who says, when are you going to do one not for girls? Whether it's, I hear so many people who say, when are you going to do App Camp for ladies?
Yeah, I want to go.
When are you going to do App Camp for women? When are you going to do App Camp for big girls? I've gotten so many versions of that question, and I'm like, yay! It makes me very excited to think that there are other people who would like to have the same sort of thing. And I have to say, Natalie Austin, our developer, I say our developer because we have one, she was the one who built the basic quiz app, and she came to it, she was working at an Apple retail store, and she had a friend who decided that mobile was the future and started this app development company.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, he went to her one day and said, I know you dig your job at the Genius Bar and whatever, but would you like to come work with me and build iOS apps? And she said, I'm not a developer. And he said, I'll teach you, I'll help you, and I'll help you figure out the things that you need to know. And now that's her full-time job as an app developer. And so that was something that she told the girls was, you know, this is the kind of thing that happened for me. Somebody sat down with me and showed me, this is how it works, this is what you need to do, and now this is my whole job. And they all kind of went, wow. And then she said, that she was going to recruit me next, because like I said, I'm not a developer, but Natalie keeps telling me I'm not a developer yet. And listening to her explain stuff in Xcode, I kind of went, wow, this makes a lot of sense. I know she's trying to explain it for junior high kids, but this really does seem like something I actually could do. So I'm working on it. I've got a couple books. I'm going to sit down with them. Natalie told me to get a hold of her whenever I wanted help. So since I'll be spending a week in August with her for the official launch of App Camp when we do the 1.0 camp in August, I'm probably gonna have to pick her brain a little bit. But it's been really great to know that there has been that much interest. And so getting the opportunity to change the dynamic of that room for Gene someday at WWDC 2020 or whatever, when all of these girls have grown up and gone out into the world and gone, yeah, you know what? I really want to do app development. I think that would be great. And then they go become full-time engineers and can show up at the ladies meetup there at WWDC or something and, you know, help change the dynamic. I spoke actually at Alt WWDC and I talked about building events and how that's what we do in Portland. And here's a really good example. It's called App Camp. And somebody asked me at the end of my talk how I would know when I succeeded, when Gene and I had succeeded at App Camp. How would Gene know that we had, you know, realized our dream? And I looked around that room and I said, you know, I'm sure every single one of you is lovely, lovely people, but we will know we've succeeded when this room looks absolutely nothing like it looks right now.
Yep.
And every guy in that room applauded for that answer. And I just went, yay, this is a really exciting thing. Because to me, like I said, it's something that Gene decided to make happen. It wasn't something she decided to talk about. And there's so much talk now about women and equality, whether it's equal pay for equal work or not hassling cosplayers at conventions or, not being able, like when a guy criticizes something, the reaction to him is way different than when a woman criticizes something. And instead of sitting around and going, all these things are terrible and it's so sad that that's the way things are, sometimes you just have to stand up and do.
Yeah.
And that's totally what Gene decided to do. And I'm really excited to have the opportunity to help. And it's been an amazing experience, like all the way around. It's just been great. This was the part to me that really warmed my heart and let me know that we were absolutely on the right track. We initially decided we wanted to raise $50,000. And we started a couple of weeks before WWDC. And we thought, you know, in 2 weeks, maybe we can get like $5,000 or $10,000 of our 50 so that by the time we go to WWDC and we're trying to talk to people and go, this is a thing and you guys can help and you can donate to it, people would go to it and they would see that it was an actual thing, that there was money there, that people were actually donating. So our very modest hope at the beginning was in 2 weeks that we would have $5,000 or $10,000. so that people would look at it and go, hey, this is an actual campaign. It doesn't have $18, you know, sitting there waiting for perks. And we reached our initial goal of $50,000 in the first 3 days of funding.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful.
And we nearly fainted. I couldn't believe there was so much support and so much outpouring. And the thing that really was the greatest about it to me was that it didn't take hundreds of donors to get there. It wasn't like people cruised by it and went, oh, hey, $5. Like, people were giving us $100. They were giving us $50. They were giving us a couple $100. It was actually before I just started as an official host on Angry Mac Bastards, but the Angry Mac Bastards gave us $1,200.
Fabulous.
And they don't make a whole bunch of cash off of that podcast. And so they kicked in $1,200 and said, this is a thing that totally needs to happen. And we're totally behind it. And there were so many people who gave a not insignificant amount of money. That, to me, is the thing that blows me away. It's not that people went, hey, $10. It's people went, hey, $100. Or the companies that sponsored teams.
Both you and Gene have a lot of credibility in this community. And so I'm not so surprised that when people realized this was something to be excited about and something to get on board with, people stepped up to the plate with their money. But wow, that's very exciting.
It was wonderful to know that we were on the right track, and there were like these little nudges at every point along the way where something would happen. We had to juggle the scheduling for the space, and all of a sudden the time that we were going to have to move to suddenly freed up. We were going to be double booked, and we were going to have to panic and find a whole new space. And all of a sudden, the other person canceled their event or moved it to another week or something. And so we got to have our space for the time that we actually needed it for. And like every point along the way, there's been some little nudge of like, this is something that, you know, like sort of the universe saying we were on the right track. And it's been really great to have that nudge at every point along the way. It's been really, really wonderful.
When you think about it, this kind of event does take some money. Obviously, there's some significant equipment cost. You wanted iPod touches for the girls, it sounds like. Obviously, they're using Xcode. They needed to be used. They needed to have access to a MacBook of some sort. So there's quite a bit of equipment involved.
There is. We bought a dozen iPod touches, one for each girl, and we bought three different colors. So we have four each in three different colors for the different teams. When we expand, we'll buy four more in a different color. And we purchased a developer account for AppCamp so that we could – and then provision all the iPod touches so that they can all have the apps on them. And we borrowed laptops for this initial camp to make sure that we had something capable of running Xcode. And it looks like we're going to need to borrow twice as many. We did have one per team, but it looks like we need two per team. Because we need, instead of having four girls to a computer, we need to have two girls to a computer. That really works better.
I heard, Gina, you once say that you needed 15-inch MacBook Pros. How come not 13-inch?
Because two people sharing that screen is really small. And
I see.
We did that in practice. During beta camp, I pulled mine out. I have a 13-inch MacBook Pro. And so I pulled out my computer, and I was helping people with stuff. And two people around a 13-inch screen just wasn't cutting it.
Yeah.
So the 15-inch really needs to be, which is kind of a bummer because getting to use MacBook Airs would be phenomenal because we could just leave them on all day and it wouldn't matter. So we have to think about things like power strips and does everyone have an adapter and, you know, we have to charge the iPods during the day and that kind of thing. So because we don't send them home with cables because we don't want to have them sync it to a computer by mistake.
Right.
And then mess up the stuff that's on it. So we let the girls take them home at night, but they don't get to take a cable with it. So we charge them during the day. So some of those logistics and things, like all of that stuff is not cheap.
Yeah. Well, we're accustomed to that. We know that Apple equipment isn't cheap.
You
pay a price for the quality stuff.
Absolutely. And we know that, but it just means that it's a little harder to come by. We're now at the point where we're seriously looking at what we're going to do next. So now that we have all this money, we want to build app camps in a bunch of other places. We want, and these aren't anything. We have confirmed nothing. These are just ideas. AppCamp Seattle, AppCamp San Francisco, AppCamp Chicago. We've decided we're going to have a fight over who gets to go personally start AppCamp Honolulu.
Yeah.
And like, there's just so much possibility out there, and the need for it has been the thing that's been amazing. Is how many people have said, when you do App Camp where I live, I will help you. You just need to tell me when and what I need to do. And it's been really wonderful to have that support from every place.
It's something that people are really gravitating toward, and it's going to be exciting to see what does come out of it. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, I keep teasing Jean about the App Camp empire. and she keeps telling me we're not everywhere yet, and I keep saying yet
we'll be
it's not yet. Think bigger, you know. Yeah, we need interplanetary app camp was the last one I told her. Intergalactic app camp, and I told her think how great those t-shirts would be for intergalactic app camp.
So how did you get the girls for the version that's coming up? I assume it's already filled and
it's super booked. We could do app camp. Not that it's possible, but we could do a brand new app camp every week until school starts, and we still wouldn't be able to get to everybody that was interested.
That's so awesome.
We sort of casually mentioned to a few different people and said, oh, you know, and it was always people like, my niece's school could really use something like this, or I know someone whose daughter is totally the age for this, or these girls are... you know, this organization gets together once a month and they could really use something like this. And so the other nice thing about it is sort of been that we aren't the first people to have this idea. I mean, we're the first to do an app camp, but like Girl Scouts now has some sort of app development badge, like a computer science sort of badge that you can earn. And there are other people who are sort of stopping and thinking and going, you know, if we don't get more girls in technology, we're not going to have any more women in technology. And for me, it's a purely, I'm always very upfront about this. This is a purely selfish project for me. I am sick to death of being the only girl. And it doesn't matter what field it is, whether it's tech support or just technology in general or iOS, anything. I'm so tired of being the only girl, and so I feel like I'm doing this so I don't have to be the only girl, but I'm also doing it so that none of these girls who are legitimately interested, who at some point decide that app development is their life's calling, I'm doing this so they don't have to be the only girl either.
Because you feel that passion, because you share that with Jean, I just bet those girls who came to Beta Camp and who will be coming to Version 1 can really connect with you, really relate to you. And I bet you formed some real bonds with those girls.
I think so. And it was great to get to have more conversation with them when they would say, because I told them all, I'm not a developer. I can help you look through your app. But if there's something legitimately broken, we're going to have to get Natalie to help you with it. And so then at one point, one of the girls said, well, what's your job? Jean told us hers, and we know Natalie is a developer, so what do you do? So I told them, like, I do software support, which is also an important piece, because once you build your app, somebody has to be able to answer questions for other people when they're new and if they do something that breaks it. And they said, oh, that sounds great. And I said, and I also host podcasts, so I talk to other people who do app development, and that's another good way. And so that team said... one of their marketing ideas was we would give our app to Kelly because she knows a lot of people and she'll talk about it on the internet and that would be great. And so it was just very interesting to get to show them that there are other avenues. There's more to iOS development than just sitting in front of Xcode. And if sitting in front of Xcode is what you want to do, that's awesome. But if what you really like is breaking the app or debugging the app or creating artwork for an app, if the design piece is the part that really spins your propeller, like that's a thing that you can do. And there's a very solid career path for that. You can be somebody who does UI design. You can be somebody who's a QA tester. And those are all really important features too. You need more than just somebody to build the app because there's so many great apps out there that nobody ever knows about because nobody will talk about them or something that could have been a great app but isn't because it's got all these fatal bugs because it got released before anybody tested it.
We're starting to hear, you know, from different developers that it's because there are 900,000 plus apps in the App Store that it's getting harder and harder to make your app stand out or to have a hit, you know, because there are so many now. And if you if you don't at 99 cents or 2.99 or 4.99, you know, you're not going to make much money off that app. So the whole marketing, the whole idea of figuring out how to get it out there seems like it's a critical piece that
it's huge. Yeah.
Because you don't want these girls to, you know, end up, I don't know, disappointed or end up
sure.
you know, thinking that they could make a career out of this without really understanding what the nuances of it are.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that it was really great to get to spend some time talking about was there are a lot of people who do this on the side because they have to have a real job, a regular job, a real job, a day job to support this. Like,
it reminds me a lot of the arts, you know, the music business, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, or all those waiters in Hollywood that write screenplays or act, you know, if they just get the chance. It's the same sort of thing. Or as I, you know, the thing I always say is that my house payment and my hobby are not compatible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've that was something that we talked about and we told them, you know, because we looked up how many apps are in the App Store. And in the middle of June, there was the announcement that they'd hit 900,000 apps. And I said, what are you going to do so people see your app out of 900,000 applications? And one of the girls said, well, we're not making a checklist, so that's easier. That's a very good perspective on that. I hadn't really considered that. That is kind of a bunch right there off the top that you don't have to worry about competing with.
Yeah.
And so we did some things while, like, for each team, we sat down and looked up. Because like I said, they built a quiz, each team. And so we talked about, we went and searched, like, what kind of quiz it was. And then, like, one of them was, what kind of penguin are you? Because one of the girls really liked penguins, and she drew this cute little penguin. And they said, that can be the app icon. And so they had these four different types of penguins, and you had to pick different answers. It would say, like, what's your idea of a fun thing to do? And there were, like, four choices. And so they had all these things, and then at the end, you were one of four different types of penguins. So we looked up quiz apps, first of all, to see what kind of quiz apps were out there. And then we looked up penguin apps to see what kind of penguin apps were out there. And so one of their ideas was that they would, in some of the free penguin or penguin-adjacent apps that exist out there, that have ads in them, they said, we would buy ads in these other applications so that people who already like a penguin app on their phone will see that there's another one available.
They were very creative in their approach.
That's very clever. And one of the other groups said they would have a sale for the first 2 weeks. They'd give it away, and then after that, they would charge money. And someone else said they would have banner ads and then in-app purchase to remove the banner ads. Yep. And when they talked to the investors said things like, are you sure that in-app to remove the banner ads is a good way to go? Because, you know, I bought a game a long time ago, and I paid $1 to remove the banner ad, but I still play that game. And I'm not looking at any of the ads, so are you sure that – and they all went, oh, I never thought about that. So it was really great to have some ideas like that also that sort of, you know, showed both sides of it. And you know, maybe you think this is a good idea, but there's also a chance it could work against you. And getting a chance to really sort of show them that stuff. And they weren't intimidated by it at all, which was great. It wasn't like, oh, man. Like, there was never any moment of that. It was like, oh, well, then I guess we'll have to do a different thing. Let's try this instead. And, like, no piece of it ever got any of them down. And it was really wonderful to have that sort of dialogue with people, because usually, like with adults, you know, we there is sometimes a tendency to not see the good part of something,
yeah,
or to just sort of, you know, have failed enough times to just sort of give up, and like they didn't have any of that yet, and so it was, that was part of the energy that really made it fun to spend the week with them and will be fun to spend a week with a bunch of different girls in August is the chance to sit down and listen to them go, oh, you're right, that won't work. Let's do something else.
There is something fabulous about getting them at that age.
Yes.
Resilience of youth, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, I think it's an awesome thing that you all are doing. It's really fun to learn about some of the details and hear about it. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking with us about it. And before we stop, please remind people one more time about where they can go to learn more, where they can go to donate if they choose to. Just give them contact information if you don't mind.
Absolutely. The website for the project and the blog and everything else with a link to our fundraiser, if it's still going on when you hear this, is at appcamp4girls.com. And a project that we're running in conjunction with this is a really great project that we've put together that's called App Stories. And it's appstories.org. And what's great about it is that we've interviewed a variety of different developers. And we've asked them all the same set of questions, which are what they do and how they got started in development and what was your first app and what did it do? And like, where did you get your idea? What's your favorite among the stuff that you've worked on? And what do you want to tell people who want to make apps? And it's another one of those things where you give everybody the same starting point, and where they go with it is always fascinating. And so every day when one of these has gone up, I've gone, oh, let me go find out what this person had to say today. And we've had a great bunch of people who have done stuff. We got Michael Simmons from FlexiBits to do an interview for us. We got Daniel Jalkut from Red Sweater Software. We had one of the guys from Bare Bones. Let me see.
I saw there, Paul from Rogue Amoeba is on there now.
Yeah, I was
going to
say today's is Paul from Rogue Amoeba. We got Marco Arment to do one. And it's just been great to see what everybody has to say about having built an app, whether it was for iOS or not, you know. And a lot of people, if they've been at it for a long time, their first app wasn't for iOS. So seeing how people got started and what it was that they worked on to begin with, and finding out what the evolution was like. I remember one of my favorites was Brett Terpstra when we interviewed him. And they said, you know, what did you learn with your first app? And he said, I forgot to make any money on it.
And so, yeah. Well, I think you're really obviously reaching the influential people in the app community. So I'm going to put both these sites in the show notes and people can have a chance to go and check them out. And it's really an exciting thing. It's like a breath of fresh air to learn about App Camp. So again, thanks so much for taking some time on recording this on a Saturday, for coming and talking with us about it. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. I'm not a developer, but when the time comes for App Camp San Francisco, if there's anything I can do to help, just please let me know, because I'd love to be involved.
What you can do is sign up on the website, and if we do, and tell us where you are, and then in our contact form, we have a place where we can take people for volunteering.
Excellent.
So if that is something that you want to help with, that's the other thing that you can do on our site. If you want to donate, you can contact us through the website if the Indiegogo campaign has ended. You can also sign up and say, I live in San Francisco, I live in Chicago, I live in Topeka, and I want to help when you bring App Camp here. And we will be more than happy to do that. We're sorting all those things out, and we are going to need people in every city. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to run everything. But if you want to show up for a day or two, if one of the things that we've done that was particularly welcomed by the girls was we had a snack every day. So if you would like to be an App Camp snack mom, that's also an option. There's all sorts of great opportunities to pitch in and help. And it, you know, like I said, just because you want to volunteer doesn't necessarily mean you have to run anything. But we absolutely need all kinds of people for all kinds of stuff. So anyone who wants to sign up on the website, we would be more than happy to talk to you when we're ready to bring App Camp to your city.
Great.
Yeah, I can imagine there are just a million things that have to be taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
For
absolutely.
This to happen.
And wow. You don't have to be an app developer or even a technical person. Like I said, we need snack moms. We need people for afternoon activity each day. So if you're a self-defense person, if you're a yoga teacher, if you are somebody who does UI development, maybe you're not necessarily a hardcore coder. Maybe you do UI, maybe you do QA. Those are things that we need as well. And we also need just some general adults to sort of be around and, oh, we need this thing that we totally forgot to purchase before camp started. Can you run to the local, you know, can you run to Target and get us, you know, like we bought all these colored pencils for everybody, but on Monday we realized after about 15 minutes we had no pencil sharpeners. And that was going to be a problem. So, you know, that kind of thing that, like, you don't think about until you're in the moment and, like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? And so having somebody who could run to Target and go buy four pencil sharpeners, come back with them, like, that's also an unbelievably useful function.
Sure.
So all of these kinds of things are things that we need people for. So just because you don't code doesn't mean this isn't something that you can help with.
Well, good. I'm glad we can help you spread the word a bit, and good luck with the next one coming up, and I'm excited to hear about it as it unfolds.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad you guys took the time to have me on the show.
You're very welcome. And for this time, this is Robert the Tech Doctor. I'll say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley. Bye, everyone.